Good evening. Merry Christmas Eve. Wonderful to have you here. I don't know what your take is on Christmas. I was thinking during the week, many years ago, I was involved in a radio station, and as the music manager, as sort of time rolled on and we got a little closer to December, I suddenly realized actually we needed to start putting together a playlist that would suffice for the Christmas and the festive season. As you know, Checkers starts playing like the 1st of October, your first Christmas song, so we needed to get ahead of the game. But this was like way back when, you know, color had just been invented. We'd just gotten off the ark. I mean, we're talking the 1900s. And so there weren't things like playlists that you could download or subscribe to. You couldn't even download singles at that stage. Actually, you couldn't even rip the song off the CD. We had to record it onto the system at the radio station live. Song after song after song after song. 4,500. You know how many silent nights there are out there? So I get a little bit twitchy around Christmas. Yeah. Maybe you like that. Or maybe you're one of those on this side of the spectrum. You're the one pressing play on the 1st of October. I don't know where you fall on the spectrum when it comes to all things trees and tinsels and toys and Christmas music. I can imagine in a room like this, we got everything in between. But I also don't know where you fall on the spectrum when it comes to the Christ of Christmas. Maybe like our family, you couldn't wait to get to church tonight. Or maybe you can't wait to get out of church tonight. Mom said, you're not coming to my house for food unless you come with me to church. It doesn't matter which side of the spectrum you're on. My job tonight, what I want to do tonight is I want to stand not as a CEO, but as a CRO, a chief reminding officer. And I want to simply take a few minutes and remind you of the Christ of Christmas. If that's okay. The crazy thing is, it comes from the same portion of scripture that Clint read from when we started. So God is in the detail. And this is Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 8 and give you the back, the backstory to the moment. It starts like this. It says, in the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Now, notice that same region. That's the region between Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, and Jerusalem. Apparently, it's the ideal place for shepherds to feed and raise their flocks between Bethlehem and Jerusalem. And that's the region that it's referring to. Jesus has been born, and in that same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields, keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them. I think this is important, because in my mind, the angel was up there with its wings glowing in the dark. But actually, according to scripture, it's the original ninja. You know, wasn't there 1 minute, next minute he was there standing in their midst. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all mankind. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you. He's not just talking to the shepherds, he's talking through the shepherds to you and I here tonight. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you and for you and for you and for I, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger. Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts with the angel. Think of Lawley Street on steroids, even that house that doesn't have any more space for lights. More than that, a multitude of the heavenly hosts with the angels praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to mankind. When the angels had left them, the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, you think, which the Lord has made known to us. They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph, and the baby was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. Glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard. See, when we're reminded of the Christ of the Christmas, that should be our response. Glorifying and praising God. So I want to just draw out some observations from this portion of scripture as a reminder of this Christ of the Christmas. And I know it's going to be a little left field. You might not see it coming, but this is what I see when I read through it. The first thing that I see is the shepherds. Now, it's kind of lost in translation for us, these shepherds. But these were shady oaks. These were guys, you know, from Kempton Park. You know, I don't know if you have one of those uncles in the family that you don't leave the kids with. You know, he's always telling you about the latest Illuminati plot, and he says things that are very inappropriate, even in church, F-bomb this and that. It's kind of like that mixed with that family member you never talk about who's in prison. You can combine that, mix the two, and add some shameful, sinful past, and you kind of got the shepherds. They had a proper bad reputation. They were the worst of the worst. They had such a bad reputation that they weren't allowed to give testimony in a court of law. It's like you, I don't believe a word that comes out of your mouth. There's an old historian who said they had the habit of confusing mine and thine. So they were thieves. They were scaly oaks, a dodgy bunch, shifty eyes. They were unreliable witnesses, and they were also not allowed into the temple. Essentially, the powers that be looked down on these guys and said, well, I don't think God wants you around. So I don't know if you know the Old Testament when Joseph is introducing his family to Pharaoh. You know that Joseph who interpreted the dream where Pharaoh had this dream and he said, actually what God is saying to you, he's showing you the future where we're going to have years of abundance and then we're going to have years of famine. And he says, this is what someone needs to do. And Pharaoh appoints Joseph to do that. And through him stepping in and just sort of taxing the people and putting food aside, they were able to survive this famine and he saves the nation. So this Joseph is introducing Pharaoh to his family. Actually, he's prepping his family for this introductory moment. And he says to them, whatever you do, don't tell him you're a shepherd, okay? And if he asks, because he's probably going to ask, just tell him, listen, we're shepherds, but don't you worry. We're going to stay in Kempton Park, far, far away from you. Don't have to worry about us. We can even go to Springs with the rest of our kin. You couldn't get any lower than a shepherd. And yet God, in his wisdom, decides, who of all people am I going to send the hosts of heaven's angels to announce the birth of my son but the shepherds? You know why? Because this is the Christ of Christmas. He comes to the lowliest, the shadiest, the dodgiest, those of us who carry the worst past, the greatest guilt and shame. I don't care what your addiction is. I don't care what you did last night. I don't care what you looked at this morning. This Christ came for you. And his gospel and his grace is enough. That's why I celebrate Christmas with a little bit of a twitch when Mariah Carey tells me all she wants for Christmas is me. So the shepherds catch my attention. The fact that the angels appeared to the shepherds at night also catches my attention. And now this might be a little bit too much personal me, but this, the fact that it was at night really jumped out at me right now. For those of you who are part of the 3CR family, you know that my daughter has been in the ICU for the last month. And when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, hey, you begin to cling onto anything that will keep you afloat. And I was crying out to God from the first moment that she was checked into hospital. I'm like, Lord, you've got to give me something. I don't know how a father, I don't know how a daddy's heart can go through this unless you give me something to anchor myself to. And I cried out to God over and over and day after day, and eventually, random Bible reading plan, and I went through Psalm 119, verse 55. Actually, it's not even the whole verse. I think my aching heart could only handle half a verse. And this is David's word. He says, Lord, I remember your name in the night. And that's why I think I saw that the angel appeared in the night. Lord, I remember your name in the night. To the Jew, your name represented your reputation. And I felt like God was saying to me, just remember my reputation in the night. If you want to anchor yourself to something, anchor yourself to my reputation in the night, where you see no hope, where all you see is terror in the nurse's eyes, where this medicine should have worked by now, we don't quite know what else to do, remember my reputation in the night. My reputation that I'm the God who heals.
Yes, amen.
I'm the God who raises the dead. Your marriage might be dead. Remember his name in the night. He's the God who restores. He's the God who redeems. He's the God who reconciles. He's the God of all compassion. And the Bible says in Exodus, it says, I have heard your cry, I've seen your pain. I am concerned, and I'm not just standing back. I've come down. That's what Christmas is all about. You know, the adjective that is used the most in the entirety of Scripture about our Heavenly Father is not that he's holy or mighty, not even that he's kind, but that he is compassionate. It is used more than any other adjective to describe our Heavenly Father. Because when we are wading through darkness in our hopelessness, in our 2023-ness, and we just cannot see any lights, when the dawn hasn't broken yet, he says, just remember my name in the night. And what's interesting about the night, I don't know if you know this, but to the Jews, the day began at night. It's a little strange, because to me, the night begins in the night. But to the Jew, the day begins in the night. And they get this from the very first few pages of the Old Testament, where it says, and then it was evening, and then morning, the first day. And then it was evening, and the morning, and the first day. So that is why the Jews will celebrate Passover at sunset. The start of the day of Passover at sunset. They would celebrate their Sabbath starting at sunset. And this is why, because they know their God. He is the God who does his best work in the dark. When you're finally at your end, when all hope is lost, when to the nation of Israel, God had been silent for 400 years and it was darker than it had ever been, suddenly, in a manger, the Son of God, the redeeming Messiah is born. And so I want you to remember that. As a chief reminding officer, I don't care what your night looks like, remember his name in the night. It's where he does his best work. Watch and see what the Lord will do. So the shepherds caught my attention. The fact that it's night caught my attention. But this is my favorite thing. I did a little bit of digging around this. And this is verse 12. And they talk about a sign. The angel says to them, this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger. Now I'm a pictures person. So I read it. This will be a sign. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth. In my mind, you know, these guys getting their bucky, whole bunch of shepherds, you know, probably had a little bit too much to drink, rushing through the streets of Bethlehem, and they get to the hospital and the maternity ward, and they all sort of, wait. Okay, baby grow. Swaddling cloth. Ah, that's the baby. I just thought, you know, they're going to go from house to house or whatever they did in those days until they find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth. But it wasn't that it was a sign that this is the baby, but that this is the sign that this is the Messiah. See, here's why. That swaddling cloth, so the New Testament was originally written in Greek, right? And it's this word, spargonon, that cloth. Now, here's the crazy thing. Spargonon was used to wrap a dead body. Okay, we're going to get a little morbid for just a second, but you'll understand why. So, the reason why they believe Joseph had spargonon on hand is because his bride-to-be, who was very pregnant, now had to travel very far. They didn't have medicine like we have in these days. So it was highly likely that the baby or the mother would die. There was a very good chance. And so he grabbed some spargonon just in case. Because if she died, or if the baby died, they didn't want to handle the dead body. They would take the spargonon, these cloths, and they would wrap it out around their wrists and sort of lift the body into a coffin, or if they were wealthy, they would wrap and embalm the body in spargonon. We have friends, Zimbabwean friends, a little bit of a caveat there, fine print, and they've got this family story. Back in the day when Zimbabwe was still Rhodesia, their family came to South Africa for holiday, and while they were here, Granny Gabby passed away. Now, I don't know if you've ever hired an ambulance. We did so a few days ago. It probably would have cost them $2.5 trillion Zim dollars per kilometer to get Granny Gabby across the border back home. She was the life of the party. Everyone loved her. They couldn't have a funeral in South Africa. They had to get her home, but they couldn't afford it. So they sat scratching their heads. How do they go about getting Granny Gabby home? Now, no one quite knows who came up with the idea. My money is on the son-in-law. Because this was his idea. Let's go and buy a carpet. And we roll Granny Gabby up in the carpet. We put her on the roof racks and we take her home. You know, Maybe he stuffed some offcuts on the side. Carpet offcuts, not granny. Yeah, just so she doesn't look suspicious. We take her home. No one will be any the wiser, and we can have a funeral back with friends and family. So that's genuinely what they did. I told you I'm a pictures person, so I just run wild in this. So there they I don't know. They managed to roll Granny Gamby up and put her on the roof racks and strapped her down, heading off to Bight Bridge. And they did what every long-distance journey needs. They had a quick pit stop to go to the loo, get some Cokes and pies and everything like that, to spa or spaza shop. And they came out, and the car was stolen. True story. No one's ever seen Granny Gamby since. But actually, I lie. Two, maybe three people have. Remember, I'm a pictures person. All I'm thinking of is these poor guys. Like, hey, two for the price of one. You know, got this cool Passat and the carpet. You know, they take this very epic. And there's Granny Gamby. Now, that look on their face, I believe, is the look on the shepherd's face when they find, just as the angel said, the promised Messiah is wrapped in spagnon. What? You see, because these weren't just ordinary shepherds. These are believed to be Levitical shepherds. You know what their job was? You know why I highlighted the fact that they were shepherding this flock in that region? Between Bethlehem and Jerusalem was the prime spot for Levitical shepherds to raise sheep as sin offerings and lambs sacrificed for Passover. And you know what they do? They can only sell their sheep that are spotless and blemish-free. So they do with those little perfect sheepies what you did with that wine decanter and bubble wrapping that you bought for your wifey. They would wrap that sheep in spagnon to make sure that this perfect, unblemished, spotless lamb stays that way. Otherwise, they cannot sell them to the Levites, to the priests, as a Passover lamb. And so when they would look at their flock, they would see, there's a lamb to be slain, there's a lamb to be slain, there's a lamb to be slain. And they would stand at that manger and say, there is a lamb to be slain. The Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world. And I've come tonight to remind you of that. Yes, there'll be trees and tinsel and toys, and you're looking at the theological inerrancy around having a tree in your house, but at the root of Christmas is Christ. The Christ who brought the gospel to our shepherd-like hearts, who waded into the darkest of nights and said, I've come to be the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world. From the very beginning, that was his agenda. And that is why I celebrate Christmas, even though Mariah Carey does too. Because at the heart of Christmas is this Christ who came for you and me. So when you go home tonight, and should you have a little bit of a twitch because your wife switches on Christmas music, remember this Christ. Remember this Christ. And should you face some darkness going into 2024, and maybe that marriage takes a little bit of a strain, would you remember this Christ? Or if you're here and you couldn't wait to leave because everything in you is standing up on end because just now God strikes you dead, can I remind you of the Christ? The Lamb of God who's come to take away your sin, to pay for it on that cross, to reconcile you to his heavenly Father. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you with everything in me for who you are, yes, for what you've done for me and every person in this room. I want to thank you that your blood is enough. I want to thank you that your gospel is powerful to redeem, to restore, to rescue. I can imagine in a room like this, there are so many stories that it would make our hearts sink. But you know, Father, you are a compassionate God. God who's heard our cries, who's seen our pain, who is concerned and who has come down. Not just come down to give us a hug, you've come down to die on the cross on our behalf. Lord, we want to thank you for Christmas Eve. thank you for what Christmas represents. We want to thank you for sending your Christ. I pray, Lord God, that we would never forget this baby born wrapped in spaghanon, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In Jesus' name.